Welcome to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts, Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin. Bob Dancer is America's premier video poker writer and teacher. He's written 10 books, including Video Poker for the Intelligent Beginner and the best-selling Million Dollar Video Poker. He helped develop the computer software Video Poker for Winners, and in 2004, he was inducted into the Video Poker Hall of Fame. Richard Munchkin has been a professional Advantage player for over 30 years and is in the Blackjack Hall of Fame. His book, Gambling Wizards, Conversations with the World's Greatest Gamblers, is a testament to the many ways you can succeed at gambling. The goal of the show is that you'll be a more knowledgeable gambler tomorrow than you were yesterday. And now, here are Bob and Richard.
Good evening. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer.
And I'm Richard Munchkin.
Our guest tonight is Michael Shackelford, the Wizard of Odds, talking about Super Bowl propositions. I'm going to bring Shaq on right away because some of our pre-props discussion subjects are within Mike's expertise. Shaq is an actuary by profession. He created the WizardOfOdds.com website, which has explanations for hundreds of different casino games, and is a former co-host of this radio show. Michael Shackelford, welcome back to Gambling with an Itch.
Thanks for having me. It's my pleasure to be back.
Thank you. We received an email addressed to gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com from a player who wants to be an AP. Although he normally plays blackjack, he decided to add video poker to his repertoire. He started with learning the Wizard of Odds beginner strategy for jacks or better, which returns 99.46% rather than the 99.54% you get when you play all the hands correctly. The player played 2,000 hands, and his results were only 91%. He was disturbed by this, and he wants to know if that's enough hands for him to worry about leaks in his game. If you want to be an Advantage player, using Shaq's beginner strategy, or the Dancer Daily strategy for that matter, is a huge leak in your game. The edges of video poker are small enough today that voluntarily giving up 0.08% is a big mistake, especially since 9-6 jacks is arguably the simplest game out there to learn perfectly. Just looking at your ending score is a very poor way to judge how well you played. You can luck your way into some good hands and think you're doing well. You can play perfectly and score badly. Your results after 2,000 hands are probably 75% luck. Although I just made up that number because it's impossible to accurately quantify how much skill or luck there is in the short run. I've had many 5,000 hand sessions with that same Jacks or Better game where I've lost more than 10% of my coin in. And I believe I played every hand perfectly during those sessions. It happens. If you're going to be miserable during every losing session, gambling is probably not a healthy career choice for you to be undertaking. To evaluate your play, you need to use video poker software. I had a hand in developing Video Poker for Winners, but there are other products out there as well, including Shaq's Wizard Video Poker, suitable for iPhones and iPads. You need corrections to make the correct play. Almost nobody can learn a strategy well without this correction. Richard, comments?
You know, I think a lot of people that start out trying to do any kind of advantage gambling, whether it's card counting or video poker, whatever it is, most of the advantage gambling really involves variance, and you want variance in order to be able to get away with what you're doing. So for example, in video poker, when you win, the casinos stop giving you stuff. So if you were to just grind out a small win every time you played, basically you would have a disadvantage and you wouldn't be getting the things from the casino that are where your advantage comes from. So, and I think the hardest thing for a lot of beginning gamblers is to get learn to embrace variance. You know, another example of this is when internet gambling first started, they would have these deals where, you know, you would deposit $100 and you would get a $100 bonus. And these idiots would play roulette and bet on red and black at the same time to try to ensure their profit on that $100 bonus as they ground through the wagering requirements. And, you know, obviously the casino saw very quickly what was happening. So, so if you're interested in learning to gamble with an edge, you really should learn to embrace losing.
And since you brought up my strategy, I agree 100% that if you're going to try to be a professional gambler, you need to fight for every hundredth of a percentage point you can get in video poker. And my simple strategy would not be sharp enough. That was meant more for recreational players. For example, I've been trying for years to get my mother to hold a low pair over a single high card, and I'm still not successful. So if I can't do that...
it's clearly your strategy is wrong.
Yeah, then even my most simplified strategy would be too complicated for people like her. So,
wait, what does she like to hold over a low pair?
For example, just a queen.
Or an ace, especially an ace. An ace would be, even in jacks or better, she likely prefers an ace over a jack.
And I've seen other people, like my cousin and my uncle, they hate holding low pairs.
You come from a suspect gene pool, Michael. Let's move on. We had another email address to gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. Seems this guy says he's young and smart and thinks he could be an AP if only he can find a mentor. So he wants Richard and me to make an introduction. He didn't say he wanted to learn video poker specifically, but if that's within his sights, I would tell him to get the winner's guides for two games. I'll say jacks are better and NSU deuces wild, but it could be any two. Learn jacks 100% perfectly, because that's an easy game, and learn NSU to the, say, 99.9% accuracy level, at least, because that's a much harder game to play perfectly. Once he's done that, come back and talk to me again. Somewhere along the line, to become an AP requires a lot of study. You need to play the games really, really well. So prove you're willing and able to do this. Then look for a mentor. How would you respond to this guy, Richard?
I think a mentor is a tremendously valuable thing to have. Trying to find them is difficult, at least in the, you know, in the table game side of things. You know, I had a teammate back, you know, 35 years ago who, after being very successful playing blackjack, went to the options exchange. And he basically went to a guy who was a very good, successful trader and said, I'll pay you $50,000 to teach me how to trade. You know, and so the guy became his mentor. And, I mean, they ended up hitting it off and became partners after that. But, yeah, if you can find a good mentor, it's worth a lot, but finding them is difficult. But I agree with you. You got to prove that you're willing to do your homework. You know,
I think I'm willing to take $40,000.
I think there's a lot more money in options than there is in video poker.
I think you're right. Shaq, how would you have dealt with this?
Yeah, I am an informal mentor to several people, and I always find it very annoying when, say, a friend comes to me and says, Mike, you know, I've decided I'm going to become a professional card counter. And I say, oh, well, you know, I admire your ambition. And then they expect me to teach a whole course in card counting 101, having never opened a book on the topic. And I find that really annoying. You know, I think they should do a lot of homework on their own. And then if there's some concept they don't understand or they want to, you know, ask a very specific question, great. But you know, don't be lazy. And furthermore, I think there probably is a market out there for experienced professional gamblers to offer mentoring service on a paid basis. And I've offered lessons for on an hourly basis before. So there should be more of that.
As have I, and in the poker world, that happens all the time. There are people who want to hire me to teach them, which on a few hours at a time is easily done. All right, let's talk about some Super Bowl props. Michael discusses this every year, so this is like the third or fourth time he's done this, and so. We have both, Shaq and I, have been eaten alive by the no safety bet, which is a tremendous bet that he touts every year. And I think it's 3 years in a row or maybe four out of five that that we both fell off the top of a big building. It's the kind of building that you bet $1 million to win a few pennies. But it's a good bet. So, Shaq, are you still recommending no safety?
Yes, I am.
How good is it this year?
It's even better this year than previous years. I think because of all the previous safeties, there has been a safety in each of the last three Super Bowls and four out of the last six. Nevertheless, if you look at NFL games in general, going back to 2000 when I started to track this, there's only been a safety in 7% of the games. I believe that it has just been an anomaly that there have been so many Super Bowl safeties, but I stand by my advice that betting the no safety is a very good bet. This year, I put it fair at -1486, or basically it's fair to lay 15-1, and I have already seen it get as good as laying only 6-1, which was at the Boyd/Coast Casinos. I've also seen -650 at William Hill, and I think it's going to get even better at the last minute. So I have not lost my faith. After the Super Bowl last year, I didn't. I felt like losing my faith, but it's been restored, and I'm still pushing that no safety bet.
How much will they take on that bet? Most of these places.
Most places have $500 or $1,000 limits, in which case, if you're laying money, you can lay to win that much. For example, if the limit is 1,000 and the line is -700, then you could bet $7,000 to win $1,000. So you're not going to have any trouble getting money down on this bet. Trust me.
Yeah.
Well, unless you wanted to put $250,000, and you could actually get that much. It's if you went just lots of different places.
Yeah, you could go, for example, the Hilton, and I think the MGM casinos have a $2,000 limit. And I think if you were patient, you would just kind of ping pong that back and forth with the public, and you could get $250,000 down on that if you wanted to.
All right. So, what are the good Super Bowl prop bets this year that you would recommend that currently are available somewhere in Las Vegas?
All right. Well, first of all, this is a pretty weak year for props.
Why is that?
The main reason is that it's basically a pick'em game. So that there are a whole ton of props that makes no value in. For example, the team to score first, will the underdog ever be ahead, the first team to 8 points, the first team to have a first down, the first team to do anything. Those are all basically now coin flips, but everyone is offering -110, -110, or -115 each way. So there's no value in laying money on a coin flip. So you've got to look at things that are not 50-50. So here are some of my suggestions. One you'll find everywhere is first score to be a touchdown. I put this fair at -166. I've seen that at -150 at Jerry's Nugget, -155 at the Wynn, -150 again at the MGM casinos. You're not going to have trouble finding a good bet on that one.
That's not much of an edge, though, either, right?
No, it's not. Like I said, it's not a very good year. But I think a professional gambler, has to take an edge wherever they can find it, even if it's not that big.
I'm not a football bettor, so I'm asking these questions for the guys like me. So on a bet like that, where your edge isn't that big, do they comp football bettors well?
No, they don't comp sports
bettors. So you don't
bettors.
Get any extra VIG in the comp.
You might get
really.
A free drink ticket.
Yeah, oh, great.
Yeah, a lot of places don't even have a reward program at all. Yes, you can. It's easy to get free drink tickets by placing just, you know, a $20 wager or whatever. And some places have a point program like William Hill. But I don't think I've ever received anything for my sports betting points. The percentages are just so low that it's not even worth taking under advisement. Okay, let me go on to the next one. The flip side of that, the last score is a touchdown. I put that fair at minus 199. I've seen that at minus 160 at the Station Casinos and Jerry's Nugget, and minus 180 at the MGM. And I might add, these are lines that I've just seen walking in. It's not like I camp out waiting for the virgin lines anymore. These are just the going lines. Okay, we already talked about the no safety. No overtime is another big bridge jumper that I bet every year. The line on that is the best line I've seen is minus 800, and I've seen that at lots of places. When everyone starts pouring in from California and the whole country this weekend, they're all going to be betting the yes on that, and I expect that to get better. So with these bridge jumpers, I like to wait until the last minute.
And how often is there overtime?
There has never been a Super Bowl overtime, and in games in general, off the top of my head, it's been 7 or 8%. Two-point conversion. I put the no fair at -569, and I've seen -380 at the South Point Book of Casinos. There's a lot of them that share those lines, and -400 at the CGT, you know, the book that that they use at the Venetian and the Cosmopolitan, Tropicana. No 3-point margin of victory. I put that fair at -510. I've seen that -400 at the South Point and Westgate. If you don't like the bridge jumpers, touchdowns under 5.5, I put that fair at -123. And I've seen -115 at the South Point and Boyd Gaming Casinos. Team to score last wins, I put that fair at -205. I've seen at -180 at the Golden Nugget. Will there be a scoreless quarter? I like the no on that. I put it fair at -347. And I've seen -290 at the Westgate and South Point Casinos. And next, let's talk about bets on each individual team. Fortunately, this is a little easy to talk about because it's basically two evenly matched teams. So, field goals under 1.5 by either team. I put that fair at -103, and I've seen +115 at the Wynn, at the Station Casinos, and +120 at the Wynn. Kicking points by either kicker under 7.5. I put that fair at -115, and I've seen +120 at the William Hill Casinos and the Golden Nugget. Kicking points under 8.5. I've only seen this on Gostkowski, the Patriots kicker. I put that fair at -178, and I've seen -130 at Wynn and -145 at the William Hill Casinos. Okay, last score of a particular team to be a touchdown, I put that fair at -166, and I've seen -130 at William Hill. First score to be a touchdown by a particular team, I put that fair at -168 by either particular team. I've seen -130 at William Hill and -135. I forgot to say where, but I saw it somewhere. And first downs under 21.5 by the Patriots. I put that fair at -166, and I've seen -125 at the Wynn. That's one of my favorite bets. And
wait, I'm sorry, repeat that again.
Under 21.5 first downs by the Patriots. I think that they're probably only going to have about 19, and it'll probably be really close to 19 as well. So again, I put under 21.5 at minus 166, and you only have to lay 125 at the win.
Do they let you parlay any of these things?
No. No, there would be huge correlations there. A lot of places have a parlay card, but rarely are those any good. And, yeah, that's about it. It's no surprise that everything that I've said is an under or in something not to happen. It's this way every year. It's because all the squares come in here and bet on stuff to happen and bet the overs, and it creates value the other way. So just between betting the unders and nos and shopping around, you know, there's good values to be had.
Now, are all these numbers on your website, and are you updating them as the days go on?
Yes, I just put on my website today basically everything that I just said. It's the fair lines for this particular Super Bowl and the going lines that I've seen around town for them. And with a lot of them, I list a whole lot more. And with a lot of them, I just haven't found any good lines. For example, one that I've bet a lot previous years is under 3.5 field goals. But I'm just not seeing any good value on that this year for some reason. And I also have a calculator on my website where you can put in the spread and total on any game, and it'll produce the fair line on, you know, almost 100 different props. So basically, I'm just using that calculator to do the analysis.
Okay. We just had somebody submit a question via Twitter, which is kind of new for us. You can tweet us live at RWM21.
This is our Virgin Life tweet.
Yes. All right. So the listener asked, what is the biggest sucker prop bet, the bet everyone wants to make but should not?
To bet on a safety.
Ah, okay.
I'm telling you, every square is betting that. And I've heard the last 3 years when there was a safety, the people in the sports books just went nuts. So, yeah, that is the biggest sucker bet.
Okay.
Really, bigger than now, you generally tend not to bet on individual people, such as will Tom Brady throw an interception, or will Richard Sherman have an interception, or how many rushing yards will Marshawn Lynch get, and those kind of things. And yet there's a huge number of props with somebody's name on it. Is there a reason you avoid those?
There's two reasons. Number one is I used to analyze those bets, and it's pretty time-consuming. And when I looked at my results after a few Super Bowls doing this, I noticed that my props, my bets on any prop to do with a player's name other than the kickers, we're just not doing very well. And I followed the Stanford Wong methodology of using the Poisson distribution in his Sharp Sports Betting book religiously. And I don't know if I just had bad luck or if there's just something about the Super Bowl that they rely on their big stars even more. Because I was finding myself betting, you know, will player X, who's a big star, score a touchdown? No. And just time after time, they were. So I got frustrated that way. And number two, they're time consuming to analyze. And this is just something that is only going to be good for that one game, because it's all going to be different the next Super Bowl. Whereas all the stuff I'm talking about is very formulaic. You don't have to care about anybody's names. All you care about is the spread and the total on the game. And my calculator does all the work. So
I would think that some of the ones that involve names, you wouldn't really have that much data for some players.
Right. You know? And the way I would do it is, you know, for example, will Marshawn Lynch score a touchdown? Is I would look at how many touchdowns that team expects to score and the percentage that player scores, and then do the exponential distribution to determine the probability of him scoring at least one. So, I would look at the last two seasons of data for these particular players.
Right, and so if a player has, I don't know, scored over two seasons, you know, five touchdowns, that's not much data, right? I mean, to...
Yeah, there could be a small sample size problem, but also what you're missing there is if there's, for example, and he had a late season injury, but maybe he was a star player before that, or so, you know, the data doesn't say if there's an injury. So, yeah, so that not knowing information like that can lead you to make mistakes.
Now, there's often a prop, I haven't looked at them closely this year, but something like the shortest touchdown will be
over under 1.5.
1.5 yards.
Yeah.
Did you look at that this year?
No. I've bet the under on that lots of past years. Mathematically, it always looks to me like a good bet, but but for the reasons I just said, I pretty much don't analyze any props anymore that have the word yard in them.
Not even, well, what if it has kickers, which you like, and a field goals of 29 yards or more or less or something?
Well, you know, I used to love analyzing those, and I paid somebody to make a spreadsheet of the number of yards of every field goal going back numerous season. So I paid this guy to do all this analysis, and so the next Super Bowl I felt really armed and ready to handle all these props, like will both teams score a 33.5-yard field goal? And I didn't really do that well on them. And another thing you have to consider is my data goes back to the year 2000, and field goal kickers keep improving and improving, and people are, they're now kicking field goals in the high 50s. But when you mix in a lot of this old data when the kickers were not as good, it leads you to betting against these long field goals, and you could be making bad bets with this old data.
Actually, I seem to remember last year or the year before talking about over under the number of field goals was like 3 or 3.5 mm-hmm. or something, mm-hmm. and you liked that bet at that time.
Yeah.
Is that still on your list or no?
I put under 3.5 field goals, which is the common line at -134, and I've also seen under 2.5. I put that fair at +169, but I have not seen value on either side of those this year. It's just kind of strange, but that used to be one of my favorites, but I haven't bet it this year yet.
So there's often some fun bets at the Super Bowl, such as the number of yards by one team in the first quarter against the number of points a certain basketball player would score on the same day, +14 or something.
Mm-hmm.
What are the most interesting fun bets you've seen this year?
Bovada always prides themselves as putting out a bunch of silly ones, and I forgot to bring the list, but going off of memory, there's always what color will the Gatorade be when they pour it on the winning coach? Will the person singing the national anthem forget or make a mistake with the words? How long will it take to sing the national anthem? How many times will Deflategate be mentioned on the air? Will Katy Perry forget the lyrics to any of her songs? There's a parlay between the Super Bowl winner and whether or not Punxsutawney Phil will see his shadow the next day, which is Groundhog Day. And
analyze that one?
Yes. I present a pretty detailed analysis of that on my website. It's Phil, going off of memory.
You need to get a life, Michael. Sorry.
I don't know why I waste so much of my valuable time on silly props like that, sometimes they just interest me. So I studied the frequency with which Punxsutawney Phil has seen his shadow, and the weather forecast for Punxsutawney on Monday is going to be
cold
and snowy. But usually it's sunny, so Phil sees his shadow, which means 6 more weeks of winter. So I wish I had data on the correlation between the weather and whether or not he goes back in his hole. That's another one. But here in town, there's one at the Golden Nugget on over or under 6.5 letters in the last name of the first player to score a touchdown. And I wasn't expecting to see this when I walked in the door, but I went home and I looked at every offensive, both rushing and passing, touchdowns for the last season of both teams, and I assumed that each player would score a pro rata share of touchdowns in the Super Bowl. So I determined the probability of each player scoring a touchdown and looked at the number of letters in their name. And I determined that the probability that there will be that the under will win is pretty strong at about 70%, meaning a fair line of about minus 227. And they opened this up at plus 125. So whoever bet that bet first had a 56% advantage. But I hear that the line has significantly moved since then.
I was down there yesterday, and I think it was, I don't know, I think it was minus 200 or something. I mean, it had moved from plus to minus as of yesterday. It was...
Yeah, I'm not real good at spelling. Is Gronkowski more or less than 6 letters?
Now, there was an article in the paper this week about the 5 bets that got enormous action when they opened.
Mm-hmm.
Did you look at those?
I looked at that article. I don't think I bet any of those things. They were mainly on particular players, right?
I'm trying to remember.
Yes, I think they were Brady and interception, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Now, let's change gears a little bit. Michael Shackelford was co-host of this show between February 2012 and January 2013. Part of what we talked about when he was on the air was the betting on the presidential election in November of 2012. At various sites, you could bet whether Obama or Romney was going to win. And for several months before the election, it appeared clear that it was going to be an Obama repeat. Curiously, one of our listeners wrote in to complain that Shaq was un-American for daring to report that Obama would win again. But I digress. Anyway, this year, there is such market where that betting can take place for the 2016 election, which is still more than a year and a half away. What's the current status of that market, Michael?
Okay. For the party to win the 2016 presidential election, the market shows that the Democrats have a 59.3% chance to win and the Republicans 40.7%. Looking at the primaries, Hillary Clinton is a very strong favorite for that. She's almost unchallenged. It shows she has an 80% chance of winning the Democratic primary, even though she's never indicated she even wants to run. The Republican primary is much more interesting. There's a whole big field right now, and let me tell you, the probability, according to the betting market, of each candandidate winning the GOP.
Now, wait, where are these numbers coming from?
They are coming from Betfair. Okay. So I'm looking at I basically looked at the recent...
Betfair is a British site?
Yes, it is a website where basically... people bet against each other on all kinds of different markets. It's mainly sports, but...
And it's like Intrade, where the market moves based on the
Yes, it's
the
exactly like Intrade. So these are odds are based on all the going prices for these candidates. And I am a firm believer in the efficiency of the market. And I think that looking at... the betting market is a much better estimator of what's going to happen than the polls that they quote on the news.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Okay, number one, Jeb Bush at 25%. Number two, Mitt Romney at 13.7%. Number three, Scott Walker at 12.5%.
Who?
Scott Walker. He's the governor of Wisconsin.
I want to talk about him. Well, let me stop you there. When did you print out these numbers?
Yesterday.
Because, I mean, the Koch brothers just announced that they're going to spend $889 million on this election, and it seems like their choice is Scott Walker. So if I were able to bet, I would probably make a bet on him if I'm getting 8-1 to get the nomination.
I have a feeling the line probably moved once that announcement was made, but if you could get someone to honor that, given all this money he's going to have, that would be a great bet. You can never understate how important money is in politics.
Wouldn't you want to get a sign as who Sheldon Adelson is going to support? That might make a difference.
Well, that would certainly shift the line once he announces, too.
I think his strategy is to wait until it's kind of obvious who's going to win, and then he gives that person a lot of money because he doesn't want to waste his money on candidates that are going to lose. So he likes to buy favors with his money.
Didn't he put a ton of money behind Rick Santorum last time?
I don't know. You would certainly prove me wrong if he did. And furthermore, he gave Mitt Romney a lot of money, even though his odds were not looking very good against Obama. So he does stand on principle some of the time. But and I should confess, I don't know his donating habits all that well. But you know, having worked for him, I think he's pretty shrewd, and I don't think he likes wasting money on candidates that don't have a good chance. Okay, going on. Did I already say Marco Rubio at 11.2%, Rand Paul 9.7%, Chris Christie 7.0%, Ted Cruz 5.8%,
and it goes down.
Yeah, Rick Perry 4.9%, three more. Mike Huckabee 4.2%, Paul Ryan 3.1%. Bobby Jindal, 2.7%.
And Sarah Palin didn't make the list.
Nope.
All right.
Nope.
Yeah, I mean, the good thing about Betfair in this kind of market is you can bet the don't. You don't have to just, you know, bet on somebody. If you have access to the market, I've heard that some people have friends in the UK and can bet at Betfair that way. But, the good thing about this kind of market is – that you can bet on either side. So
right, yeah. If I had the money to bet, I think I would bet on Jeb Bush and against Mitt Romney. But that's just my own personal handicapping.
Yeah. I'd like to add too. Don't send us angry emails. We're not endorsing anybody. We're just talking about where the value might be in betting these things.
Right. I haven't offered a political opinion at all. These are just odds.
Yeah.
All right. What's happening at the various Wizard websites?
There's been a whole lot more emphasis paid to internet gambling, which should come as no surprise, given the new owners of the sites, and they're trying to recoup the money that they paid for them. So I've been doing a lot of software reviews by the companies that provide the software to the internet casinos.
I noticed that, and I wanted to ask: Are you the one writing those reviews?
I write most of them. I write all the analysis of the games. For example, here are their blackjack games. Here's their video poker games. Here's the rules that they follow. For example, in video poker, we list every game that they offer and list them in return order. So all that mathematical stuff, I do completely. But when it comes to the reputation and bonuses and customer support, things like that, I don't really know that well for these smaller companies, how they rank. So some of the other people that work for the company add that information.
Yeah, well, like today or yesterday, you had a review of Platinum Play, mm-hmm. which we can't play from here in the U.S. So, mm-hmm. so it'd be hard for you to know any of those things about the bonuses, et cetera.
Right, and so I trust the reviewers with the company to tell it accurately who's honorable and who's not, and. If I personally hear that we're endorsing a rogue casino, I'm happy to intervene in that situation. But so far, it hasn't happened yet, and I really think that the new owner cares about the integrity of the business, and he also likes to out bad organizations.
Oh.
Oh, and what else is new on the site? Well, I just added today a page about a game called Look Ahead Poker, Super Look Ahead Poker. And this is, it's like regular video poker, but imagine after the deal, you know the next card to be dealt, as if like the dealer is flashing it to you. You can then either accept that or reject it and then have whatever random cards are underneath it. For this feature, you have to bet 8 coins instead of 5, and the extra 3 are basically just a fee. They bump up the pay table a little bit, but it mainly pays for this peaking feature. So this was kind of a challenging game to analyze. It took my computer a day and a half to crank through all the combinations, but yes, that's the latest page that I added.
Are there any pay schedules in the Vegas area on this game that are remotely playable?
Not that I know of. The only place I've seen this game is the Rampart Casino, and I've only analyzed one double-double bonus table and one Deuces Wild table, and they both came in at a return of 97% to 97.5%, as I recall. So at least at the Rampart pay tables, even with optimal play, they're no good. So, but I asked IGT to provide me a list of all the games, pay tables, and returns for these new games. And lots of times they give me this information. And, you know, they always say, I'm really swamped. I'm not sure where it is. And, you know, sometimes I get it and sometimes I don't. And I haven't seen it yet for this game.
Very good.
And lots of times videopoker.com has the same information, right?
Yes, they do, although the returns aren't always there. Mm-hmm. But you can frequently practice the games, at least the ones that are invented by videopoker.com. I don't think either Look Ahead or Super Look Ahead are videopoker.com games, so I doubt that you'll be able to find them there. But I'm not positive.
Yeah, I think they're not.
And since we're talking about them and they're one of our sponsors, now's a good time for commercials. South Point has more than 10,000 games returning more than 99%. That's more than anybody else has. The main promotion in February is called Penny Perks. It's on Penny Slots. There's a lot of must-hit-buy penny machines at the South Point. Whatever your strike number is for those machines, during February, you should probably lower those strike numbers a bit due to these promotions. Double points will be on President's Day, Monday, February 16. The new 10-week semester of free video poker class will begin Wednesday, February 4th at noon in the Grandview Lounge. First class is Jacks or Better. The rest of the schedule is posted on bobdancer.com. At the Palms, in February, they will have the same type of drawings that they've had in January. This is 7 p.m. They're giving away $10,000. You don't have to be present to win, but you must claim by midnight or your prize evaporates. There will be 5 times drawing entries, Friday, 7:45 p.m. through midnight, and 2 times drawing entries between 4 p.m. and 6:30 Friday afternoon. PFP play for prizes ending tomorrow, January 30th, are up to $190 in gift cards to TJ Maxx or Marshalls or Home Goods. It's the same card. These gift cards may be earned and redeemed at a rate of 0.20%. You keep your points. For the 2 weeks beginning Monday, February 2nd, it will be Albertson's gift card. The last 2 weeks of February, it will be whatever we got extra gift cards. So you don't know if it's going to be Costco or Lowe's or Albertsons or TJ Maxx or CVS or so there'll be a big variety to choose from. At videopoker.com, it's the best place to play a lot of games. If you sign up for the gold membership, $8.95 a month or $79.95 a year, It allows you to get correction on most of the game. It's a good place to practice quick quads, for example. You can get the strategy from me or from Shaq's website, but if you want correction, go to videopoker.com. For most players, you have no idea of how badly you really play until you have a computer program correcting your plays. The game of the week is, and contest is, Multi-Strike. Multi-Strike is a four-line game with a twist. You pay for all four lines at once, but you only move up to the higher levels if you're successful at the lower levels, where success is defined as at least getting your money back. Since you only move up about half the time, your score on level 2x is doubled, your score on level 4x is quadrupled, and your score at the top level is octupled, which I hope means multiplied by 8. To make the math work, so that Multi-Strike is worth about a quarter percent more than the base game, periodically you receive a free ride, which means you're going to move up in level whether you score on the current level or not. This requires four separate strategies to play well, because your strategy for each level takes into account the value of moving up to the next level. I'll be teaching 9-6 Jacks or Better Multi-Strike on Wednesday, March 4th at the South Point. The game returns 99.79% and is available for quarter five play, meaning $5 per hand. Finally, the Video Poker for Winners software has strategies for Multi-Strike game. This is the only software out there that includes this strategy. All right. I got another email from a friend, and he lives in the Midwest and received a comp trip to the Atlantis Casino in the Bahamas. This is just over the bridge from Nassau. They got free food, except there was going to be a tax charged to it, a forced gratuity, which you'd have to pay at the end. So he came to the room at the end and check out. He figured he would owe $300 because it included some stuff in the gift shop that he bought. Instead, his bill was $2,000. He complained at the desk. They lowered it by $60. He complained some more, got down to VIP services, and they got it down to $680, which he paid. When he got back to his home casino, he wrote to the GM and went back and forth, and he got another couple hundred dollars taken off. So he ended up $500 for this very nice three-day trip. He talked to the other people on, and everyone else had this kind of experience. So if you get a trip to the Atlantis in the Bahamas, this is a totally different organization than the Atlantis in Reno, know what you're in for. Some people like to negotiate and are good at it. Some people are good at it but hate it. And some people are terrible at it. There are people who can sell ice to Eskimos, and there are others who are so bad at it that around them, ladies of the evening play hard to get. So depending on what kind of person you are.
That should be disclosed ahead of time, though. I mean, that's obscene, yeah, that you would get hit with a bill like that without being told ahead of time.
Yes, and the resort fee is $71 a day, and that they did not reduce.
Jeez.
And so here, a lot of the casinos in Vegas do have resort fees, but they're not that high, and usually if you're comped room, the resort fee is waived. And it's only for the non-gamblers that they actually charge the resort fee. All right. The blackjack ball happened recently. We'll be discussing it next week with Max Rubin, the host of the ball, and the winner of the Gross Gene Cup will be here next Thursday. After the party, a group of ball attendees decided they were going to go go-karting the next day. I was invited to go, and I've never been go-karting. I am not a speed demon. I drive like an old Asian woman. But I liked some of these guys, and I wanted to get to know them better, so what the hell. So I show up and pay my $60 for two 10-minute rides and a free T-shirt, and take the TV course so I know what I'm doing. And we go, and my, it's a zigzag course. My score was, my best round, my best lap was 35 seconds. To give you an idea of how good this was, the best guy in our group was 22 seconds. He passed me up four or five times during this 10-minute ride. So I wasn't very good. Didn't particularly enjoy myself. So Munchkin, who was there to take pictures, I said, Richard, you go on my second one. I don't really want to. And so he scored like 27 seconds for his best time, which was considerably better than me. And so I was figuring that, but this was still under my name, and so this was an 8-second improvement. So I figured I would get such a big prize for such a vast improvement, but somehow they forgot to give me one.
You know, everybody that I was with forgot the free T-shirt. So they owe us about, you know, four or five free T-shirts from But yeah, a good time was had by all. It was great to get out with you know, a bunch of players and just do something fun. And the one thing I thought was funny is, you know, a lot of Advantage players are pretty competitive. There was one guy in particular who got there an hour early just so he could practice before the rest of us showed up.
Well, he did his two laps, and he was basically done before the rest of us started. I don't think he went again, did he?
Oh, yeah. He kept going. He was there to practice. Yeah.
He was there to practice. All right. So I don't – did you see what his score was? Or?
Yeah. It was low 20s. I mean, yeah. So –
Well, good. I have no idea how they do that.
Now, this same – I should say that, you know – a lot has been mentioned on the air about my avid ping pong play, and so this particular guy, it turns out, is also an avid ping pong player, so he came over to play.
Yes.
And then I found out that he gets two-hour lessons twice a week.
Wow.
So I didn't fare very well against
him.
He's
a man from
him.
Australia?
Yes, but he lives in London now, so.
Uh-huh. Well, the 2 hours of lessons?
Twice a week, 2 hours. So 4 hours a week of lessons, yeah.
Wow. That was that 1 week's worth is 4 hours more of lessons than I've ever had.
Right.
All right. So, Richard, if somebody wants to get our broadcast delivered to them, how do they do it?
First of all, we really welcome your questions. So you can send them to us at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. or facebook.com/gamblingwithanedge, or as we had tonight, you can tweet them to us at RWM21. If you'd like the show delivered to you while you sleep, you can sign up and have it delivered to you through YouTube, iTunes, Stitcher, or even through my site, richardmunchkin.com. You can get all the old episodes at bobdancer.com.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you, Michael Shackelford. Thank you, Richard. Go out and hit lots of royal flushes, everybody. Good night.
Good night.
You've been listening to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts, Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin. Subscribe to the show in iTunes, and episodes will be delivered to you automatically every week. Archived versions of past shows may be found at bobdancer.com and richardmunchkin.com. We welcome emails at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin are both available on Facebook and welcome your questions. The sponsors for the show are the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa, the M Resort, the Palms Casino Resort, and the website videopoker.com. Join us again next week for another Gambling with an Edge.